It's time for overrated, underrated, or properly rated with the Chad Hartman Show. Live here on CCO. Call or text 651-461-9226. Come on, join the fun.
Look who's back. Look who's back.
Here I am.
She walks in the room.
Yeah. Immediately am insulted by the entire room.
That's where I'm going.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's
wait, you liked it.
I've got your back.
Okay, go ahead. Tell
I'm
what
in the
happened.
Room. Josephson is in the room. Harrigan's in the room. And Susie comes in with her very distinctive walk. You have a distinctive walk.
Do I?
Right? Yeah.
I didn't know
she
that.
She sauntered a little bit.
There was some swagger.
There was a
saunter and a swagger. You have a saunter and a swagger. Oh,
thanks.
And I gave you a big hug.
You did. That was nice.
And then right away you said, what do you think of my sweater?
Yeah. Brand new. From Colorado.
Yes. And my first default, because we just talked about it last week.
You did.
Yeah. I don't like wool sweaters. They're the itch factor. Now, I told you right away because you kind of looked at me, and then Josephson ripped it, and then this guy then tried to butter you up with some phony, disingenuous phrase that you didn't buy at all. It was just, ugh, wanted to vomit. It was so phony.
Oh, my God.
Like the
she's never heard such words come out of
oh, yeah, it's like Shakespeare. Will Shakespeare has just appeared back in the room. Okay, The pattern is beautiful.
Thank you.
And as you said, it matches your beautiful eyes.
Thank you. It's pretty, just for listeners, it's light blue.
Yeah.
It's not wool. It's actually not. It's quite soft.
It looks wool, doesn't it, Dave?
It does, but it's not. And it's soft. And it has a nice pattern, almost like forest, evergreens with the blue sky.
It's like I'm looking at the woods and a little bit of a dusting of snow is on the trees.
That is exactly what I drove into outside of Denver, Colorado.
Oh, it snowed a crazy amount.
And it was so beautiful. I mean, it wasn't snowing so much that wrecked the trip. It had already snowed. It was a little dicey because my cousin has a place, I like to call it a cabin/mansion, outside of Dillon in Silverthorne. And you go out about 15 miles, maybe 10. And then once you get to that little road, Pebble Rock Road.
Pebble Rock Road.
Then you have to do this switchback to get all the way
to the mansion.
Yeah. And that's not, well, there's not a fence. I mean, there's the
you
drop.
You could go, boom. We never hear from you again. Here's the thing, Dave. If Susie didn't come back, everybody here would just assume she's still on vacation. It might be a year and a half before somebody said,
jeez.
Is Susie coming back?
Maybe my kids would call and say, hey, have you heard from her?
I don't know. And we've heard about the sisters. I don't think they're calling either. Okay, so tell me about the trip.
Yes, that is my underrated is Colorado. I think that it is really...
It's a beautiful state.
It is. And it's very different. Lots of different, mountains, valleys, lots of good stuff.
Topography.
That's the word I was going for. Mm-hmm. But so this place... I went with my best friend. She's never seen Vail.
Okay.
So she wanted to see Vail. And
what kind of ski are you?
I'm a medium to beginner ski.
Okay.
I could try a blue run, but I'm comfortable on green runs for people that know.
But you can do it.
I can. We did not ski, which was a little bit of a bummer because
All that snow.
However, guess what?
I like to say fresh powder.
Fresh powder. Do you ski? I never asked that.
Very little.
Okay.
Anyway, my balance kind of weak.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Listen.
Wow.
Kidding. But Vail, Vail wasn't
legendary.
Even open. The ski hill Vail.
What?
Yeah.
I thought it's open like constantly.
No.
Like if it snows in July, boom, there you are.
Nope. And guess what?
And there's Lindsey Vonn right there.
There was a dude waiting in line to be the first one on the lift at Vail. I was like, it's kind of like the Minnesota State Fair. Everybody lines up to be first. But anyway, so it's a really good time of year to go to Colorado.
Well, not if you can't ski.
No, but I mean, if you don't like crowds, there was hardly any waiting.
Yeah, when it's not open, there aren't a lot of crowds. Dave, where else not like the fair today? Not a lot of crowds.
Yeah, if you just like walking around looking at the buildings.
Oh, you guys.
Yes.
I mean, just.
I'm with her.
Oh, the scenery,
Don't you move? I mean, how long have you hated Minnesota?
I don't hate Minnesota, but I am drawn to Colorado.
Yeah.
Did a great thing. I'm also going to say underrated. a good ghost tour.
Oh.
I did a ghost
tour. See, I believe in ghosts. Mr. Dr. Negative over here does not believe in ghosts.
But he has taken himself on a ghost tour before interesting, as did I. Do you want to know what I learned about? I'm going to just not talk to him. I'm going to talk to you.
Thank you.
We learned about prostitution in the 1880s Breckenridge, Colorado.
Yeah.
did I hurt your feelings?
Yeah, you did say I'm not talking to you.
Just for a minute. I was trying to get a story. I thought we would go on another road and then I wouldn't be able to tell my ghost story.
Yeah.
About
how were the prostitutes in the 1840s?
Well, there was one side of town, the west side of town had very highfalutin, well-paid prostitutes. And if something went haywire, maybe you got a disease, maybe you weren't friendly to the gentleman, then you got banished to the east side of Breckenridge, and they called those women crib girls. And they just had a little house, and they had little beds, and that's all they did. But
they gave you amoxicillin right when you came in the room.
I don't know. They had amoxicillin in the 1800s.
I don't think they did.
But two of the prostitutes had been banished to the bad side of town.
I really was worried there for a second. Dave, how worried were you where she was going there?
Banished.
Okay. Am I back again?
Yeah, you're back.
Oh, you smart mouth. Big crybaby. I'm not mean to you very often, so you should just take it.
Yeah.
Listen.
Take that to HR.
Yeah.
Anyway, two of them had been banished to the bad part of town, and they did a suicide pact.
Oh.
Only one of them died. The other one didn't. And her ghost.
Head fake?
Not much of a pack.
Right.
Yeah, I'll do it too.
Yeah. Wait, you went first? I changed my mind.
Anyway, she haunts this one building there. I just love that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I love it.
I came down the other day, my laptop right here. Because I believe in ghosts, including my house. The fireplace keeps getting turned on. The other day, I come downstairs, just me at the house this day. A movie is playing on my laptop. An Apple movie is playing on my laptop.
Do you have any sense it could be your dad?
I think you could get a movie to play on the laptop.
I mean, no,
I don't know.
There'd be a shirt with a stain on it, you know.
No, but they say that the spirits and ghosts go through electricity.
When Carla and I were still seeing each other, there was this bird that would come by all the time by the door. And Carla was convinced. And then we realized the bird was just pooping right there.
So. Well.
Still could be.
When the Apple thing says that I'm wandering my house naked, you know, trying to find out if somebody's already in the house.
Nice. Could have put a robe on or anything.
I could have. You know, maybe I was going to, you know, they were being off something. And then say, hey, we'll leave now at this point. All right. Do you have anything else?
Okay. So my sweater is beautiful.
Yeah.
The mountains are beautiful. The ghost stories were great. And my last thing we did that I wasn't sure Lisa would dig, there is a mineral hot spring in Cottonwood Pass.
That's
hot spring.
Awesome.
And there are six different pools, and they control the heat. And the hottest pool is 106 degrees, and the coolest pool is 98. So you soak in this mineral water with all these ingredients.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It was terrific. Yeah. We had a wonderful day.
Let's open that up here. Let's just...
I don't know if we have any spring
water.
We'll
make it up. We'll make it up.
I mean, anyway, those are
mine. We'll go to Cold Spring. You know, we'll do it there.
Cold Spring.
All right, what do you have for overrated, underrated, properly rated? We'd love a text or two. 651-461-9226. All right, Dave. What do you have for overrated, underrated, properly rated? And if you want to tell Susie she has to skip out, you know.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not like that.
You're going to rise above.
I'm going to be bigger than that. I'm going to be a bigger person here.
Maybe I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What are your things?
Treat me like the rest of your family. How many people do you want to punch in the face today?
Yeah.
How old is Kay Jones, by the way?
93.
Did you ever punch her in the face?
No, I did not. But she was funny. She said, why do you want to? And I'm like, can I count how many different
reasons? It's a long list. Yeah.
Right. Okay, David, let's not digress.
Well, I asked you that because longevity underrated because we celebrated my grandma's 96th birthday on Saturday.
Happy birthday.
How's her
Unbelievable.
Health? How's her eyes? How's her mind?
She's doing fine. The mind is there. Obviously, there's health issues, as one will get when you're 96. But My grandma on my father's side died a few years ago, in fact, the day before your father died,
oh.
Chad.
Oh.
And she made it to her early 90s. And now 96 for my grandma on my mom's side. Pretty good run.
Pretty good
no
run.
Pretty
kid.
Darn good.
And by the way, keep going.
Yes.
Keep going.
Absolutely. And she's feisty as ever, and she'll let specifically her children know when they've wronged her.
I think that's one of the keys, to be honest. Have a little spunk and spark and just not sit there, oh, everything's fine. No. You're allowed to get ticked off and mad and let people know.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you got great leeway at 96. I mean,
right.
Outside of Susie, who wants to punch their parents in their 90s?
Oh, good for her.
We all know about the complaining from the Saturday night Netflix broadcast.
Oh, the fight.
Jake Paul,
Friday night.
Mike Tyson. Excuse me, Friday night. Yes, Friday night. I think those complaining.
I was one of them.
If you didn't, you know, if you had the problem streaming it, you couldn't see it. I get that's a complaint. But complaining about the fight itself, off base. Off base, because you're not paying attention to what was the best part of any boxing match I've seen in a long time.
And that was?
That was the fight within the fight.
Mm.
The fight going on between Mauro Ranallo, the play-by-play guy, and Roy Jones Jr.
Yes.
as he was working some of the commentary.
Yes,
you know, let's
they
start
were fighting with one another.
Let's, no, listen.
Let's start it at the beginning of round three.
Okay.
Now he's fighting. I've seen it throughout his career. It's interesting, but he does bite on gloves even in preparing for this fight. Going back through his history,
I think he had a problem with his mouthpiece.
I have to tell you, Roy, I've seen it in a lot of fights with Tyson. I don't think that's the case.
Ooh, some arguing about Tyson biting the glove.
Never heard of him biting before.
Yeah, Ranallo, though, he kind of came in with the came in with the body shot there. But you know what? Roy Jones wasn't done.
No,
round
he was
four.
Not.
I fought him in 2020. I never seen him do his mouthpiece like he's doing it tonight.
Ooh, that was a left hook.
Oh, yeah.
I caught him a little bit.
I played the game.
Yeah. Staggered him. Staggered Ranallo. But you know what? Not to be determined. Just one round later, we go to the fifth.
Now he's still getting that mouthpiece. I just don't understand that.
And I don't want to debate or get into an argument with your Hall of Famer, but like I say, it has been a tick of his in fights past.
No! I think he put Jones down on his back.
Yeah.
So he bites his own...
Tyson does, yeah.
Bites his own punching hand.
Yes, he's got the gloves up, and he tends to apparently bite it a little
gnaws
bit.
Gnaws on him a little bit.
Yeah.
I committed to it only because I was home. I didn't alter my schedule at all. But Netflix, again, first of all, bravo that you had $60 million. If we trust Netflix telling us.
That's right.
Well, right? There's no other service that monitors that.
That also may count the people that clicked on it, weren't able to see anything.
Yeah.
But they clicked on it, so Netflix says,
because at one point, I was on my phone, wouldn't work. Then I was on the TV. Then I went to another TV. I was just, you know. And finally, for most of the fight, it did. How about the interview he had with his son, where he interviews him, and he walks away, and I don't know what he's wearing, but the butt was hanging right there.
Are
Mike's ginormous booty right there in front of him.
Yes.
Did they protect each other? Wouldn't shock me.
Oh.
Would not shock me if there was a setup of some sort.
Mm.
They made millions and millions of dollars. And by the way,
60 between
if
the
this is going to, if you think this is springboarding boxing to higher levels, I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah, I know. How was, I didn't watch it. How was the actual fight? I mean, was there any
plotting?
Good, not
dull.
Much. Okay.
Mike came out looking like an old man.
He did.
I mean, as he's just walking to the ring, he's got the knee brace on and just his face is like, I don't want to do this.
Well, then we find out more about his health issue, which pushed him back where he had 8 blood transfusions months ago.
Wow.
So I'm sure they really put a rigorous grading of Mike. But
man, did you ever see Muhammad Ali's last fight?
Well, was that the Trevor Burbick one?
I think so. It was so hard
sad.
To watch. Oh, I mean, I'm not comparing the greatest with Mike at all, but it's that feeling when you go, oh, don't do that. You know, come on.
Yeah. Well, I think Muhammad was like 40 at that point.
Yeah, and heavy.
Mike Tyson's 58. I mean, he looked fit as can be, but he's 58.
Man.
All right, you got one more? Or?
David?
Last thing
that was very good, though. You had a lot of pre-production on that.
You. Thank you for not telling me to shut up this time. Last, I'll just say I finally, after 40 years, got the gumption, the fortitude to stand up and stick it to Big Rake this weekend. After going through the yard two times, I said, you know what? I'm getting the mower out, and we're just going to mulch these bad boys into oblivion.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah, you don't need to rake. Any of you don't, it's fine. Okay, let me jump in.
Okay.
Brock Bowers, great young tight end for the Las Vegas Raiders, scores a TD, and he does the Trump dance. Like Nick Bosa did it. Yeah. There are other athletes, they're Trump supporters. They're doing the Trump dance. Obviously, he's not my guy. I made that point. But I don't care. You do you. I'm not going to be a fraud like Laura Ingraham. Shut up and dribble. No. If they want to acknowledge that Trump's their guy, I literally have zero problem with it. None. Now, afterwards, they're interviewing on a number of topics. And then somebody says, okay, you want to tell us about your support for Donald Trump or the dance? And the media relations guys pull them away as if there was an assassination attempt.
Oh, no.
Get out of here. Again. You do you. I have no problem with it. But he's such a poor little precious flower. We can't ask him a question.
Give me a break.
Give me a break.
Remember, they do so many different kinds of dances. I mean, everybody's got ridiculous little goofy things.
Or funny. Yeah. You know. And
remember old Randy Moss pulling his pants down? That just about brought down the house.
I mean, look at Cam Bynum and how elaborate he's been.
Okay.
SNL. I can't get enough of Domingo. I cannot get enough of Domingo. Now, I'm asking for it more because I'm on the TikTok, and I love the TikTok. In China, if you're listening, here's all my information because I don't want to lose TikTok. Mm-hmm. I apparently put it out there. I'm pro-China because if you're taking my TikTok, Beijing, here I come. I love the TikTok. And, I mean, the Domingo first with Ariana Grande singing off tune and the other – members of the bridal shower, and they're on the bachelorette party, mm-hmm. and she hooks up with Domingo, and the guy's there, and the fiance's like, what's happening? Well, then we had another version this week where they're pregnant, and now it's a bridal shower, and guess who shows up again? It's Domingo. And but then the guy who plays Domingo also showed up at a Sabrina's concert in L.A. over the weekend. I think it might have been last night. And there's so many different versions of it on TikTok. It's hysterical. So don't tell me that SNL can't go viral because Domingo is very funny. Going back to the Tyson-Paul fight, mm-hmm. we now have our latest it girl, a woman by the name of Sydney Thomas, mm-hmm. who is the very attractive blonde woman. And if you went anywhere on TikTok or Twitter, and you might have an algorithm where you say, hey, I don't exactly hate seeing attractive women. Sydney Thomas was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So Sydney Thomas is about to be out there constantly.
Okay.
Right. So it was a great night. It was a horrible night for boxing for the future, but it was a great night for Sydney Thomas. Quinny had the Special Olympics boxing.
Oh,
bowling, boxing.
Boxing. I can't quite see him in the ring, but
he probably would. Don't get me wrong. But he had the state tournament yesterday, and he's had it for Fridays now for 2 months, and it has just been amazing how much he's loved it.
Aww.
Because he's with his group, and they've stayed together from high school and transition, and so we practiced Saturday.
Figure out the wrist thing.
We went to Park Tavern. We worked on the wrist thing.
Okay.
And so oldest brother, Kathleen and I obviously were there. By the way, there's a picture of all of us where with the lighting and my gray hair, I look like the grandfather who showed up. My kids look great. Kathleen's still beautiful. I look like I'm the great-grandfather.
Straight from the crypt.
From
my
the home.
My God, what's happened to me? But Hunter shows up with his girlfriend, Mikhail, and they had to drive like 45 minutes. And it's an early appearance. Griffin... he loves UFC. He was up late with his buddies. We all showed up, and Quinny just absolutely loved it.
Aww.
So it was great. And then one last one, and it's a somber one. But Brent Haskins recently died. Brent Haskins, for a lot of people, they know him as Clem and Yvette's son. I know Brent Haskins as Brent Haskins because I got to know Brent fairly early, and in particular when he was with the Wolves. And I would see... you know, Brent was with the Wolves a fair amount of the time when I was there. And I always see Brent. Every time I saw Brent, he was happy.
Mm.
He was kind. He was respectful. He was smart. You left the room if Brent somehow was a part of it, better. He was beloved. He was liked. He was respected. And things changed really quickly. I don't know all the details. I reached out, like Henry's really close to him.
Mm-hmm.
My guy, J.B. Bickerstaff.
When did he pass? When did he pass?
This last few days. And he's 51, I think.
Oh, I hate that.
It's it is reminder 10,000 that life can be so joyous. Like, I'm at this Special Olympics event. You know, here are my three boys. Hunter's got such a great girlfriend, Michaela. Kathleen, my ex-wife, is basically my best friend. You know, it's like life's so good. And at the same time, I find out Brent, just this sweet, kind, like everything you want as a person.
Mm.
And he's gone too soon. Don't waste time, man. And by the way, however you enjoy time, maybe it's on TikTok 5 hours a day. I don't care. Maybe it's walking. Maybe it's creating things. But just love your life. Because sadly, just great people like Brent leave us too soon. Thank you, Susie.
Yes, sir.
My man, Tim Mahoney, owner of The Loon, both Minneapolis and St. Paul. Timmy, never shy with opinions. What does he think about the city council and the labor standards board? I'm sure he's got strong opinions. He's next. I'll look at one of these stories and give you a couple of graphs and bring my friend Mr. Mahoney in the conversation. City Council voted Thursday to create a labor standards board. Board would advise the council on labor policies made up of representatives of employers, employees, and other community members. Tim, there are people who absolutely love this. There are people who absolutely believe it is a giant mistake. You are right in the core of Minneapolis with an iconic place where I ate at about 3 weeks ago, and it was as great as ever. What is your feeling about what passed with the city council regarding a new labor standards board?
Well, I guess it comes down to this. What is driving this? What did we do as a whole to create, have someone create a board to dictate to us how we're supposed to run our business? We've asked, when I was first given the information from Lisa Goodman, this is about a year and a half ago, myself and the MLBA, we went to our office, we listened to the labor standard board people from California. We were questioning what this was all about, who was driving it, who would be on this board, how it would be formed, all these questions that we've asked and never got any answers for. And now we're in a position where, what is this going to do to downtown Minneapolis and the Minneapolis as a whole? Most people think that this is a restaurant driven labor standard board. Well, this is not. And the people in Minneapolis has to understand this is all businesses. This is your mom and pop grocery store, your local hardware store, your florist. All these people will be subject to a labor standard board review and your practices and how you pay your people and what your hours are and how you compensate them and so on and so forth. So it's just not a restaurant industry as a whole. It's a small business as a whole, as a group. And I think a lot of people don't understand that because we've been in the forefront, the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, myself, and other organizations pushing the agenda at the city council asking why. Why are we doing all this?
Can I jump in on that? You ask a very important and valid question, what do they say?
We don't get an answer. We had an event at Barlicot. I think it was late spring, early summer, and there was a group of restaurateurs that were invited to this meeting, and there was four city council people there, one of them being the president of the city council, and they were giving us an opportunity to speak our minds, and people were very, very vocal, very upset.
I'm sure you were quiet.
I was supposed to be quiet, which I didn't have to say anything because other people got up and said it for me.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting when I finally said, I had my moment, I said, you know, what's the difference with all these? What you're asking is you're looking at people that are disadvantaged, people of color, women, so on and so forth. We've been through this a million times. I go, look at this room. And in this room, the majority of people in that room were people of color and women. And the women today are driving the food industry more so than men in downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
Sure.
Our food scene is one of the best in the country. We also have one of the highest minimum wages in the country. We're one of the most highly taxed area in the country.
All true.
Now go back to the Labor Standard Board and we're saying, okay, so you're going to create this board. What is your plan? We're talking about scheduling, 30-day scheduling. Well, how do you do a 30-day schedule and the Timberwolves, you know, get in the playoffs and they lose?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I don't.
A Twins game gets rained out.
Correct. All these things. And, you know, it's one size fits all. Doesn't work. Now, the question, too, is when we went on Tuesday in front of the board or in front of the council, the amount of people that were there that were in favor of us and the MLBA and the community, the business community, against the Labor Standard Board were very interesting. We had the Samoan community. We had the BIPOC people. We had all these people that are, you know, people of color, women, immigrants, all these people are asking the same question, and we get no answer from them.
Well, part of what they say in other meetings, Tim, is big business. They've turned everybody into big business, right? It's not just businesses in Minneapolis that are owned and have small margins. It's the perception has been everybody owns a business in Minneapolis is making just millions of dollars when we know that's not true. We know there's some businesses flourishing, good, right? But they've turned this into that businesses in the city of Minneapolis are harsh and are unfair to employees, and that's why this is necessary. What do you say to that comeback?
Well, I think that's a bunch of BS, as you well know. And I said this the other day at the council meeting. Our employees are our lifeline to success. If we don't have good employees, we will not be successful in any business, at any time, in any small business. Your employees are your lifeline. And to say that we don't treat them with respect or we don't treat them correctly is just wrong. I mean, right now there's things in place for wage theft. There's things in place for sick time and sick leave at the city. There's all these layers that are there that have been put in place in the last 5 years to protect the workers, more so than any other city in the country. And now they're going to put another layer on top of this to control. I mean, it's like how often and how many times are you going to come back to us and say, okay, we're going to have to fund this in a certain sort of way, so we're going to put a tax on you, or we're going to put a tax on the homeowners. And you know they don't answer that question, you know. And again, we sit here and we talk about it over and over and over again. Like, what are we going to do? When you look at the taxation of downtown Minneapolis, line by line by line, it's amazing.
Well, can you expand on that a little bit for the folks who don't realize the differences taxing downtown Minneapolis compared to other areas in the metro area?
Well, I can give you a great example: my Loon Cafe in St. Paul and my Loon Cafe in Minneapolis.
Sure.
There's a 7.5% difference in taxation.
That's enormous.
That's by $1 million. It's a lot of gin and tonics, like I like to say.
Yeah, yes. It is. And just amplifying this, okay, and Tim Mahoney's here. You just mentioned it, owner of the Loon, Minneapolis, and St. Paul. You had four business groups: Minneapolis Regional Chamber, Minneapolis Downtown Council, Hospitality Minnesota, Minnesota retailers all said they don't like it, vowed to not take part. Today's vote confirmed what we've been saying about the Minneapolis City Council not listening to the business community. The mayor of Minneapolis, a statement from the office. This is on Thursday. Mayor Fry has been clear and consistent in his support for a labor standards board that is balanced and fair, but the council's proposal was never that. Are there two or three people within the council who you believe are most driving this?
Absolutely. Just for, you know, not pointing fingers at anyone individually, there's a group of people that are driving this. Again, we've asked them why. We've asked them over and over again, who are these people? They say they're our employees. They say this and that, and I said to them, when was the last time that you ever got one of your employees their citizenship? When was the last time you got one of your employees out of jail because they did something stupid? When was the last time you helped one of your employees who had a medical condition or their family did and you had to help them? They don't see that. They don't see the small business person, you know, all the things that they do to keep their company or keep their business afloat and to keep their employees happy. They believe that we're just the opposite. At every moment, we're going to try to steal their money or do this. But that isn't the way it works. I mean, you're downtown. Have you walked around? Have you seen all the empty retail spaces?
Yes.
Have you been to Uptown? Have you seen that chaos there?
Right.
And it's just like,
making it harder is idiotic. Let me just be clear.
Correct. It's correct. I mean, it's like this city, as you've known me for years, and yep. I've been one of the biggest cheerleaders of all time.
100%.
And I'm getting to the point where it's like, really? Come on, folks. Wake up. Look what's going on around here. This is ridiculous. Uptown should be the most beautiful place in Minneapolis to come and hang out. Downtown should be just vibrant all the time. And what do we have? We have them creating a labor standard board to create another layer of government to make it even more difficult for someone to start a business in the city, in downtown. And then what do you have? The taxation on top of it. And it gets to the point where between you and I mean, if I was, well, put it this way, that article in the paper on Sunday.
I want to get to that. Yeah. Well, let me get to that. Remind folks, Tim Mahoney's here. Let alone, by the way, the fact that the police department is short about 400 to 500 officers, so there's still safety questions. But the Tribune had a story which first popped up online on Friday, was in Sunday's paper, where basically it said, where are restaurants going to go? Are they going to go to Minneapolis or are they going to go to the suburbs? And you've laid it out. The taxation is so different. The guidelines are so different. The Loon is an institution. You're having success in St. Paul, but it would help if more people were in St. Paul. Right now, if somebody comes up with another concept for Tim Mahoney, or somebody comes to you, somebody you respect, and they respect you and say, Tim, you know, there's a place in downtown Minneapolis we like, but guess what? There's this place in Hopkins that we also like. Aren't we just going to see more and more people to Hopkins, to Plymouth, to South St. Paul, and just say it is not worth all the regulations, all the crime uncertainty, all the taxation in Minneapolis, which is by far the economic engine of this state?
I would say go to Hopkins. I would never, ever tell anyone. I had a young man and a young woman who I've known for years. They're wanting to open up a new restaurant in Northeast Minneapolis. We had this discussion 2 weeks ago. And they're young and they're vibrant and they've got a great concept and it's awesome. And I said, be careful. Be careful what you're doing, because you're not going to know what's going to happen here 6 months from now. You're not going to know what the safety, you know, as far as the police and everything is concerned. It's a very delicate situation. Now, if you had a nice offer from the suburbs, what's happening is the suburbs are going to these businesses and entrepreneurs and welcoming them. They're saying, come to our area. We want it. We'll help you. We'll do whatever we can to make it, you know, whatever's necessary to put your store here, we will do that for you. And that's welcoming. That means, you know, the community wants you there. The government wants you there. Everyone wants you there. Now, in downtown Minneapolis or Minneapolis as a whole, you have some problems. And, you know, we don't even talk about the safety issue. Yeah. I mean, this is the whole labor standard board, all this sort of stuff. Why are we even talking about this?
Yeah.
We should be talking about how to make downtown Minneapolis safe. We need more police officers. I can go on and on and on about all that, and we have
for
talked
sure.
about that.
Yeah, we have.
But now, I have a friend of mine who opened up a place in Vandas Heights, and he always used to say, we're always so jealous of you guys in downtown Minneapolis. You always had events. You had games. There's always people, the hotels. We were always jealous. Now, after the pandemic, or before the pandemic, when all the crime stuff was happening, their business model is through the roof. Yeah. I mean, they've told mm-hmm. me many times, we can't believe how much we're making out here in the suburbs. We're so happy we're here.
Which is great, but it shouldn't be at the expense of what politicians are doing and making it just harder and harder. All right, my friend, exactly. I got to go. Let's do this. Let's get together and have an adult beverage, and we'll have you on again soon.
I love it. All right. Say hi to everyone. Thank you.
Tim Mahoney from the Loon, Minneapolis, St. Paul, just speaking the truth in the city council once again for the 1,000th time. I'm shaking my head at a foolish decision. Let's get to a number of the texts off what Tim Mahoney said, and I agree 1,000%. I hope I made that clear during the conversation.
Chad, one of the progressive liberal Minneapolis council members going to wake up and smell the coffee. Come on, man. Let's wake up. Let's start being a little more supportive of our businesses instead of putting another layer of restrictions on them. Come on, man. Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more, considering the high minimum wage in the city, the entertainment tax, and just the broad base insulting generalization, assuming everybody owns a business, is basically Amazon. It's Bezos. When most of these businesses have small margins, and yes, there can be businesses who go too far, right? And there's a way to deal with it. But to make it even harder, when Minneapolis, the economic engine, isn't close to what it was before because of the pandemic and crime. So I got a good idea. Let's make it even harder. Just foolish decision making. And no signs of understanding it. And most of these folks have little to any experience in business. Linda's Construction Time Check. Time for me to stop talking. It's time for you to invest in GAF Solar Roofing and receive free installation labor. Chip's out. He's traveling. Caller's next.